Let's talk. I think this. Let's talk. Welcome to the World of This King CJ Music Podcast, where we break down music, talk about music, and just enjoy music for what it is. And so in this episode, we're really going to talk about Meek Mill and Rick Ross's new album, which is Too Good to Be True. Now, I do want to preface this by saying I was not aware this album was going to drop. And I'll talk about that because I am waiting, and I wonder if this is why 2 Chainz and Lil Wayne pushed the album back, because originally it was supposed to come on the 10th, but it's now the 17th. So I'm wondering, right? I'm wondering if they pushed their album back because of this. And if this is the reason they pushed it back, I am extremely happy. But I also have to be honestly aware that I was not aware that this album was dropping. So when this collaboration album dropped, and I said November's collaboration month, it'll be nice if we have a collaboration drop from a lot of different artists. And so, it comes to my surprise when this album drops out of nowhere, and I kept wondering why Rick Ross and Meek Mill were doing interviews. So when I realized they were doing interviews, I said, so either an album's dropping soon, or this is a build-up to an album that's dropping in December. And truthfully, I wasn't aware by any means of when this album was coming out. I wasn't sure what the title was. And so when I seen Too Good to Be True came out Friday, I was worried. I was worried, and I think that's, I was worried because Maybach Music Group, I adore that group because they had such of an impact in the early 2000s. So I adore the group. I adore the idea that when you hear Maybach Music, you know, you hear that classic, you're like, okay, this is going to be a classic. And to some extent, and this is where I worried, I think Shaq and Kobe made me extremely worried about what to expect from this album. But I think there's two reasons why. I think the first reason, and let me put my biases up front so we can have a truthful discussion. The first bias that I have about when I heard Shaq and Kobe, I thought there was going to be a collaboration album because it just seems like November is a collaboration album. And to some extent, I don't know. I thought it was going to be one of these albums where people are just going to be like, hey, this is going to be a EP piece. And it wasn't, I think. But my bias is up front. My first bias up front is Rick Ross, especially when he picks beats for his albums, they're amazing when he picks beats for albums. For example, the Port of Miami, the sample that he does for Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg's Doggy Style, which is a sample in here that I think is great. Like, I think that's great. I think that's a great reference in here. I think though, we have this conversation, and I'm like, so Rick Ross is great when it comes to beat selection for albums. They sound rich. They make somebody want to listen. However, on the other hand, we have Meek Mill, which I had this idea that they're a dangerous duo, right? They're a dangerous duo because Mill can rap. I mean, Mill can rap. So, but when he raps, he has to want to rap hard. You have to want to push him to that level. And it's always been this idea to me that Rick Ross is always trying to make Meek Mill push to actually be a better rapper. And so these first couple songs from this album, I was worried on if he could, and because they were having a dispute, so I was worried exactly who was going to outdo the other. And I have to be completely transparent. When I heard Go to Hell, Star Island, Shaq and Kobe, I said, there's no way that Meek Mill's gonna let Rick Ross carry him throughout this album. And surprisingly, he didn't. I think we get out the 800. I think we get out the 800. And it's great. You hear that dynamic duo, but Star Island to me is a highlight to this album. But also because Star Island represents so much, right? But it's you can hear that competitiveness, and Meek Mill and Rick Ross going at it from bar to bar, and It's clever. It's nice. It's unique with an icon. It's a good beat. However, there's this Dead Last is a song to me, which I think came around perfectly. I think this was made with the greatest idea of making one of the best, like, iconic songs on this album stand out, right? Because Fabulous, if you ask me who has a better verse on this song, without a doubt, I think it's Fabulous. I think Fabulous, and I don't know. See, I was curious. I said, so if this is an MMG album, who's going to be on it? We got that Dre, we got Rick Ross, we got Mill. And when I saw Fabulous on it, I said, wait, is Fabulous on this? Because if Fabulous is on this, I'm not sure how this is going to go. I'm not sure how this is going to go. I'm not sure how this is going to go. And then when I heard Fabulous on the track, I said, oh, this is going to be one of the most iconic songs on this album, because Fabulous is going to try to carry McMill and Rick Ross. And which, to some extent, he doesn't carry them, but he does make them fight for their, like, position on the verse. And so you can tell throughout this whole album that it's truly based on respect and a brother kind of love throughout this whole album. And to some extent, I think that's one of the best albums to make. Right? And so at the end of November, or, you know, December, I'm waiting to do, like, a heavy review, because I think a heavy review would be great. But for first contender of a joint album, because They Don't Really Love You, to me, is one of the letdowns of this album. It's not because I don't favor this song. I don't by any means favor I don't favor that song the way in which I should. I think this song is great, but when you get to it in, like, track 6, you're like, this song could have been better. Right, this song could have been better. This album is, to be true, Too Good to Be True is a 17-song album, right? And it's, by some means, it's not, it's great. It's good. It sounds, it passes the beat test, right, where you play certain beats, see what the lyric is for each beat, and then you play it back, which is a method I've used sometimes, especially to listen to albums, that I think would be harsh. But so the vocal sound on Above the Law is something that I, especially with Miss Taylor's vocals, and I'm assuming it was produced by DJ Khaled, because I didn't hear another one. I didn't hear him rap, and if he was rapping on it, I didn't hear it. Right? If he was rapping, I didn't hear it. And so you have this competition to me, because I was like, who is it? Is it going to be Void? Is it going to be Miss Taylor? Is it going to be Wale? Who's going to have the most, or is it Jeremiah? Who's going to have the best vocal range for this album? Right? And then we break it down, and I'm like, I think Jeremiah did his thing. I think, without a doubt, say Jeremiah is not the third best vocal on this album, singing wise. I think you kind of overlook a lot of things. But Miss Taylor's, like, the vocal range she can carry herself and carry that tune in, I think, made Above the Law very special, right? I think it's hard to take away and go, oh, this song isn't special because Miss Taylor didn't do a thing. Miss Taylor did a thing. I'm sorry. She did better than Wale, and I think that's a sad thing to me, because I think if you put Wale, Meek Mill, and Rick Ross on a song, I would say you couldn't fail. But I think this song does fall a little flat, though. It's not Wale's best verse. Meek Mill and Rick Ross don't really have this battle of verses, which I do like. I think it's not the best. Lyrical rap might save this. It might save it. I think that's where I'm at. Because while you can argue that Rick Ross and Meek Mill are Shaq and Kobe of MMG. I think we, I don't know, like, to say that they're the Kobe and Shaq of the rap industry is weird to me. I think you have other duos that I think do it a lot better, right? I think there are duos that do the duo things a little bit better. And the song itself is okay. I don't think we needed a remix on this album. I think this album would have been great. I think this album could have been a possible 10, right? If the beat, I think if they had fought this out, fought this album all the way through, I think this could have been one of the best collab albums I've seen, right? And it's weird because I was trying to figure out who was going to have the best collab album. And so getting this, I think it's clear. I think The Dream carries Wale. But I would have loved to hear more Wale on that song, right? So it's, I'm very skeptical. Iconic is okay, but it's not like the runaway album, as in Star Island and Star Island. As I said, it could be New Hampshire. It could be in Miami, right? Like, it, because he says, I'm leaving Star Island, which I think is a clever words on play. I'm leaving Star Island. But I don't know. I think Pillow Talk was too short. Billionaire Flow. French Montana. Not a huge fan of French Montana. So putting him on the song was a risk, I think, of trying to figure out where does French Montana fit in the song. And I don't necessarily know that. I don't know. Like, I think more should have been added to this. I think when you are Maybach Music Group, promotion would be your number one key. And I think you listen to a few interviews and they're calling people back, and I don't know, like, the material, and I don't hate to say it that way, but I think the material at a certain point of this album, I'm going to say personally for me, right? For me, I would definitely say listen to this album. I think this album might be one of the best collab albums I've heard this year, right? However, the bars for me, you get kind of, like, tired of these bars around Grand Lose, and Grand Lose is a great song. I think it's not heavy, right? But it's, because I like Above the Law. Like, Grand Lose is, I think it's Grand Lose, and then it's Above the Law. And Above the Law is great. But then when you get to Fine, you kind of, like, lose momentum. Because Iconic does come kind of bring it back. But I think if you want to, if they redo this album, and if they do a deluxe, I think a deluxe might be great. But a deluxe would have to feature people that are outside of MMG, which, that'd be like a J. Cole getting to collab. You know, that'd be somewhere that we would expect a Kendrick, a Black Thought. You know, somebody that we want to see who, how y'all handle yourselves, challenge ourselves. That is for Meek Mill, and that is also for Rick Ross. I think you were great, talented, and you bring, like, the same subject material. But I think, you know, the gun bars, I think I do like them. And that's not me promoting violence. I think, you know, clever wordplay, I like those. The kind of, like, Rich Flex kind of vibes where we're trying to flaunt that we have money. Star Island, I think Star Island, to me, Star Island's the best song, but I think Star Island's, I think the net worth of people that live on Star Island, right? I think the net worth is, I think, what is it, $40 million? I think, so I get it, right? It's expensive. Like, it's not, and I'm granted, it's not like, is it Billionaire Bunker? It's not like Billionaire Bunker, but it's expensive to live there. So for him to say, we're leaving Star Island, I think that's, And I think that's interesting, right? But I also think these lyrical bars where he says, I got the black, where Meek Mill says, I have the black card, it's challenging, right? Because black cards are, like, the album itself is not a bad album. I think some of these bars halfway through, like, when you get to, like, Iconic, this other album just kind of closes itself out, right? It kind of closes itself out because Millionaire Row, Millionaire Row's not bad. You know, you hear a few disses from 50, a few shots, I think, at 50 Cent, right? But it's not, like, a bad album. But at the same time, I think that to end it with falling in love with the money with Future is is predictable. I think if you have Future and you name the song and you listen to the song, it's about in the love with the money. I think that's just predictable. And I think it does bring this album to a cool conclusion. But then you pick it back up with Shane Kobe, the remix. And I don't like the remix as much as the original. And I'm not entirely sure why. I think the remix is the extended version. If it's the extended version, that's fine. And I'll re-listen to it. But I think I'm three listens in. And I think that the song has a good... It's good. It's definitely a classic. I don't know. It's weird. It's not a classic album, but it brings classic material that we don't normally hear from Rick Ross and classic material we don't bring from Meek Mill. So they're challenging each other through these songs, and I think that's fine. I think it's going to be questionable who carried the longest verse and who carried the best about the song. I think that'll be a discussion that we're going to have weeks after this album releases. So in January, if we're having this conversation of who had the better verse, well, we talk about who had the best collab album, that'll be, like, in January, right? But it's definitely a catcher album. Like, I will not argue and say that this is it. I will argue that this isn't a mid... I will argue that it's not a bad album, but it's not, like, the greatest. I'll say that it's... And it brings a kind of style back that I haven't seen in a while. So that's always good. However, this album, and I don't know, I don't necessarily know how this is going to view in the eyes of others. But this album does have a more of a, it has like a views kind of feel to it. It has a kind of feeling to it in which we haven't heard Rick Ross and Meek Mill this hunger in years. Right? So it's to know that we got this collaboration album and people are saying that he collaborated with Mill because he needed the money. I'm not entirely sure, right? I'm not entirely sure at all. And I think this is, I don't know. I think this is closer to Hood Billionaire, right? But as far as a collab album, this is not a bad collab album by any means. I think this does bring us back to like a 2015 Who's the Most Competitive Artist. But I'm not entirely sure. Like, it's a good album. It'll never be Rick Ross's Black Dollar. It'll never be Rather Than Me. It'll be good. It just won't. I don't know if it's good enough to say that it's gonna be considered a classic duo album. And when we talk about classic duo albums, let me break this back down. So my favorite songs from this album are Dead Last, Iconic. Yeah, so it's Star Island. It's Iconic. It's 800 Carats, it's Dead Last, and Above the Law. I think those are my favorite so far, but those could always change. I think if you're gonna make another collab album, I would say, I think the beats, I don't know, I think the beats are a good pick. I think this album overall is like a, we'll go 8 out of 10. It's an 8 out of 10. It's a good album. It's good. It's a solid album. It's a solid album from, it's a solid album from start to finish. There are a few skips in his album that I do think are great. Now, to compare this to a album of a collaboration of two people collaborating, a collaboration album, I would have to say, and this is me being, this is an unpopular opinion. I would compare this to, I don't know, I would compare this better than Drake and 21 Savage, but I would compare this to a Drake in the Future, and the Scholarship was on the album. I think what the album was. Oh, What a Time to Be Alive. It reminds me of what to be alive, and not necessarily. It's better than Drake and 21 Savage. I will admit that openly. So far, it is one of the best albums for a collaboration I've heard in a while. However, will that stand when Lil Wayne and 2 Chainz drops 17th? I'm not sure. It's good, but I didn't have high hopes for this. I think I had hopes, and they met the hopes that I thought they were going to meet. But I don't know if this beat the hopes that I thought it was going to have. It's a solid piece of work. It's a solid album. It's an album that seems very iconic in the early 2015. So it's a decent album. I just don't know if it's going to... It has some replay value, but... The gun-related bars and hit on top of your head and I make more money. It's not a huge Rick Ross, album. You know, it's a collaboration album. So we don't hear a lot of, hey, we don't hear a lot of that. So, it's interesting. You know, we don't hear a lot of homage from McMill. We don't hear a lot of homage from Rick Ross. This might have just been a who can rap the best, and I think we got that so far. So I think overall, it's an 8 out of 10 for me.